Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be as almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wildey and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wildey and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wildey and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Edition. Quite a weekend of football for the two most prominent state teams edition. The indoors at TPC Wisconsin today edition. This is one of the reasons why I'm not good at my job. I'll explain that's later. Addition.
That's great to hear.
Heck of a
lead. Yeah, really good lead. What the hell are you tuning in here? All right, we suck.
I'm not very good at this.
I don't know. Hey, what happened yesterday? I don't know.
Oh, I know what happened yesterday. And also, when your offensive line has problems, your team has problems. And I think that was evidenced twice over the weekend edition of Wildey and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, although not yet from what I can see, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Apple and Android app store.
How about Spotify? We got it on Spotify?
Pratik is working on that. I know he's trying.
I'll tell you, I understand our fans' frustration. I just want to let everybody know we're grinding. We're grinding on it, yeah. But people are frustrated.
Do you want us to go, like, commandeer Spotify and, like, demand? Like,
yeah. No, I didn't.
We won't rest until we're back.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So we will explain again. Before we start the show, Spotify has some sort of crackdown on the popular music that is played. We have a license to play all these great songs, but at some point, I think we're just going to have like Jesse go do, and then we come back from commercial so we can get back on there since they can't.
So if we just played Yacht Rock only because it's not as popular, we'd be fine. Is that what we're
saying? It's a licensing thing with Spotify.
Yeah. Okay.
We
I don't think
the
any
license
of us really
to
know,
do it.
For being honest,
okay. All I know is it's not fair. I get it. People are frustrated. I highly recommend the ESPN Wisconsin app, which is free.
Great app.
You're not going to get – it's not going to – it's all right. Worth downloading. All right, now.
I'm just telling you, I'm kind of – people are irritated. That's all I'm saying.
And when people
and
are
I know
irritated,
people are irritated about the Packers and the Badgers. And,
how would you rank that among the things people are irritated with after the last 48
from our
hours?
Fans?
That's
third.
How many fickles did you give us?
It's third, but it's – I don't know how distant a third, but it is definitely third after this weekend.
Live from TPC, Wisconsin. What are you... so busy describing the issues with Spotify.
Yeah.
Jesse and Tausch
nice shirt.
Are,
are live from the Badger Men's Golf Wisconsin Invitational. What on earth, Jesse Nelson and the Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher, what the hell are you wearing?
So here's the deal. I've been criticized for a lot of things, and some of it's well worth, and some of it's not. But my daughter has been. She has basically kind of called me out. She said, "You need to start. You have all these great clothes, and you wear the same stuff." And it's very fair by the way. I am a convenience. I'm not super interested. I'm just not like fashion. You need to be thinner. I can't wear Euro cut stuff. Like, there's just certain things I'm not doing. But she brought up, she's like, "You got all these great shirts. Wear them." And I said, "You know what? You're right." So I am going to try and go the rest of the year and wear a different shirt on our show. And just living, okay? Living. So this shirt was next up in the docket.
Oh, wait, and as that's I was walking, on the shirts.
Yes.
So no, for those like of a, you,
I don't
second,
have a pendant.
For those of you who are watching,
what did you
on
think
YouTube, you can see what
Chalmers
Tausch is
Jewelers hooked me up like this.
So if you're listening on the radio, though, Tausch is wearing a black T-shirt that, if you watched Thursday Night Football a couple weeks ago, and Isaiah Nayor, the practice squad wide receiver, had a pendant on a silver chain. And it was like the size of a car hubcap. Mm-hmm. Tausch has a T-shirt that has that on the T-shirt. So you are not wearing an actual heavy 20-pound pendant.
Not yet. I am going to go down and check out with Garrett and Scott, though. I mean, you guys know I had a great partnership with Chalmers Jewelers for a long time. If this goes the way I think it's going to, I'll swing down there and get the real deal. But there's a couple of things. This is something I have never worn.
Very clearly 2D.
And as I was leaving the house, Sarah said, "Are you really going out in public with that?" And I said, "Well, yeah, why wouldn't I?" And here we go. So I was actually shocked it took you this long to notice. But this is twofold. Yes, it's the new shirt. It's the new shirt. And so it fits with what I'm doing with E. And the other part is, Time to grow up. I think you can put it for everybody. So there's a method to it, too, because Wisconsin Badgers, time to grow up. And Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers, that was an immature loss yesterday. Very immature. And I heard, Damian Woody and everybody else on Get Up when there wasn't storm sirens going off, that this team was immature because they didn't handle their business. They thought that, hey, we just dominated two teams, and we're crowned. And you find out quick in this league, there's a humility that comes with playing in this league. You're going to get run over. You're going to make mistakes. And there's a bunch of pros that are ready to pounce. There ain't anything given. You got to go earn everything. And yesterday they thought that they were crowned and they were given the right to win a football game, and they didn't go out and earn it, and somebody snapped it away from them. So the shirt's threefold.
Okay, and just to be clear, we're being told that we need to grow up by a person wearing a T-shirt that has a giant pendant.
Ironic,
iron-on logo on it.
I don't know if it's ironed on. I think I don't know how that's all.
It looks screen printed.
I'm not a screen print guy. There's other people that could tell you about that. But
Tausch and a screen printed chain. Yeah.
Well, you both look great. We're excited for you guys to be out there at TPC Wisconsin. You did leave and come back, I know, because I saw Jesse doing the Saturday pregame show for the Badgers game, which did not go well. I heard Tausch on the call. He and the officials were getting their steps in when marching off penalty yardage that didn't need to be
that
marched
off. That was something
off.
I had never seen.
It was
offsetting 15-yard penalties, and they're trouncing back and forth. And I look at LePay, and I'm like, why the hell would they do that? Like, what are they doing?
And then they call.
It was some of the goofiest stuff. And trust me, no way, shape, or form am I saying officiating had anything to do with what we saw Saturday.
Nope.
That is not
nope.
what I'm saying.
Nope.
But there's a – I mean, we literally drill a punt return guy. Nobody blocked him into him.
It was crazy.
And all of a sudden they're trying to say it's our ball, and we're up there like,
Really?
We'll take it, but where the – how did you see that? Yes. And then we're sitting there, and you don't want a ton of dead air. Like, there's times you let a moment breathe.
Sure.
And then there's times where the ref is supposed to be talking, and I'm like, Matt's explaining it, and I'm like, is he going to go, or what are we doing here? Like, this wasn't like a review. He's just sitting there like Again, it was just a goofily officiated game, and I don't know if you could have can I say the S word on air?
No.
That's how it was, though. It was that weekend. It was a blank and blank weekend for any of us that love football in the state of Wisconsin. It just was a blank and blank weekend. What is that?
That's a bleep.
That was the beep.
Oh. If you wanted it,
I think.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how you like timed that up. So, yes,
real tricky.
Your call waiting. It's Eleanor on
my phone. My phone. This isn't. I'm not on my Comrex. So no, I don't. Anyways, just a blanking weekend. And yet, sometimes just like Frankie Winters used to always say, put it in a bag and move on. That's in essence what we're going to try to do.
So let's start here. Since Eleanor came up with the shirt policy, and I hope that my Died of Dysentery shirt makes it into the rotation.
Ewing oils in there. Yeah, there's some good stuff coming.
But let's use another line from Eleanor, who is really carrying the show for us today. I know she's in school, but she'll listen later, but not on Spotify.
Yeah, no, she's not happy about Spotify either.
She
gets
her,
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, Jim, Matt, Molly. That's yes, all over. That's
we
rolling.
We understand all the
she's
other
like, oh,
shows
we love
are
Jim,
there.
Matt, Molly on Spotify. Where's Will Dean Tell? That's exactly what she said. So I don't know. You can take that for what it's worth.
I think you're more irritated about Spotify than the Packers loss.
I'm probably coping.
Pretty close.
This is what we call coping.
Uh-huh.
All right, continue, Jason.
All right. Well, Elizabeth Kevin Kugler Ross. let me just quote Eleanor, and then we'll start taking calls right away because I think that's probably something that makes sense given the reaction. But I have my own frustration. Maddie Hayes, who is our phenomenal social media queen in Milwaukee, I was in a debate with Homer on Green Bay game night. And now I've got people. I have people coming after me left and right for the clip that we posted. So again, I understand
tell me,
people
was
are
the
frustrated.
Clip? What was the clip? That
basically,
you posted?
I said that Jordan Love can't throw that interception. He can't do
yeah,
it.
No blank, blank.
Right,
yeah.
Which feels self-evident to me.
Yeah.
But again, once we start to criticize Jordan Love, who, by the way, said himself he can't throw that interception. He's got to see that guy, and he didn't. But suddenly that it means, oh, we think Jordan Love sucks. I don't know this subset of Packers fans who think he is so fragile that he can't be criticized for a play in a clutch. And then, oh, he led a comeback drive to get him in field goal range.
Yeah.
Well, he got a 20-yard pass interference penalty and an 18-yard completion to Tucker Kraft. He was not John Elway against the Browns in that AFC championship game starting at like the 2-yard line. So, again, we have to be able to realistically look at a defeat like this and say the season is not over,
nope.
All is not lost, but
nope.
If we're going to put Jordan Love in the MVP conversation, an MVP candidate cannot make that mistake in that moment of the game.
Jason.
Period.
Agree. I'll point to my shirt.
So it doesn't mean we think he sucks. Now, what does
nope.
suck is losing a game that you have no business losing. And your
agree.
Defense, once again, plays plenty
dominant.
Well for you.
Dominant.
And Matt LaFleur has to get up there afterward and say, I thought we played well enough to win defensively, but our offensively and our special teams were not good enough. Yeah, no blank, mm-hmm. blank.
Yeah, so that's pretty obvious.
Today, feel your feelings on this.
Yes.
Go right ahead, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. That is the Carbless talk and
so
text
Jason,
line.
This was the big debate, and I know you are on social media, got a lot of great views with on that clip.
Yeah.
Homer and I do my opening statement, and I'm getting after Matt LaFleur. And I'm also after Jordan Love and Rich Bisaccia because I look at that triumvirate yesterday as – why they lost that football game.
Mm-hmm.
So he cuts me off, which is fine, and said, what do you mean it's Jordan Love? And I said, hold up a second. And this is the part when I say grow up and start maturing. For, as a coaching staff and as a quarterback
and
Homer
as a radio host.
Well, Homer is going to be Homer. At Homer's point was he can't make the throw. I totally agree. But you understand. You have to understand what is it going to take to win this game. Not throughout the season. And I know the point is now you have to be more aggressive when you're playing because it's easier to score. And teams with good offenses, if you give them the football back, they're probably going to go down and score. They got four downs. They have nothing to lose. But let me ask you, how many times yesterday did you feel that Joe Flacco, when they were going to only be able to throw the football because they're going to be out of timeouts, run the ball if you don't get the first down, punt it, your punter's hammering it, and say, do you think Cleveland's going to score a touchdown, a 75 or 80-yard drive? Because I certainly didn't, and I guarantee you our defense did. This is a defensive-led football team. That is the strength of your team, especially at this point in the season. So what are you doing putting the ball in? I know everybody is Jordan Love. You got to trust him. Oh, and that's another conversation for another time. Yesterday's game dictated run the ball, punt, play defense, win, and then figure out what the heck is wrong with your offense against a horrific defense next week before a bye. That's what your team needed yesterday. They didn't do it. So Matt LaFleur deserves – I'm always going to say players are the ones that make the difference. They always do. But coaches put players in positions to win, and yesterday Matt LaFleur at the end of that game didn't. And by the way, I think he probably didn't want to take all the blame on it. He did, and I admire that in his post-game presser. And Jordan can't make that throw, but if Matt LaFleur hands that ball off and you tick, 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 tick on the clock, Green Bay wins that game yesterday. Period, fin. They didn't, and that goes directly back to Matt LaFleur. That was my point. Homer, I think I eventually swayed him into believing that point.
I can tell you that because the clip that we're talking about that is on the ESPN Milwaukee Twitter feed is me responding to him arguing that. And my point was, once you've decided to throw the football there, he can't make that mistake.
But agree.
The way it starts is my argument back to him, and it sounds like I'm blaming Love. But he, and as it turns out, he just plagiarized your take. Because that's what he was arguing to me, was that it's Matt LaFleur's fault for not running the ball on third and three there. And they're going against the best run defense in the league. They have not run the ball. Well, what did Josh Jacobs finish with yesterday?
30-some yards. It was like almost, I think, around 2 yards a carry. Not even.
I mean, he had more yardage on his one catch, I think, than he had. He had 16 carries for 30 yards.
Yeah,
an average of 1.9 yards per rush.
Yeah.
So based on that average, they were not going to get the first down if they handed it off on third and three. To your point, that is exactly the mentality that has now become all these guys from the Shanahan-McVay tree. We're not just going to run into the line. We're going to have a design.
Try to win the game.
That's effective. Yep. We're going to take the game and win it. Your point is a very valid one. And I told Homer that during our argument. But that doesn't excuse Love from throwing a bad pick at the worst possible time.
I agree, but he shouldn't have thrown the ball. So it's a chicken and egg deal here.
Correct. Like, so anyway.
Every game. So I guess, Jason, my point is, if you're playing Detroit, if you're playing Washington, if you're playing a team that you feel like, if you're playing Buffalo, you give the ball back to Josh Allen. I don't care how good your defense is. I'm worried. Or Pat Mahomes. There are games that you look at it, and I agree with LaFleur's aggressiveness. I want coaches to be aggressive, but what I want them to be is understanding of what do I need to do to win this game.
Yep.
And this game was don't turn the ball over, and if you make Cleveland go the length of the field, they prove they couldn't do it.
Correct.
And they weren't going to do it yesterday. And we ended up – we let them off the hook. I don't know if we got Denny Green sound up, but we let them off the blanking hook. Cleveland is who we thought they were. We thought, didn't any of us that predicted this game thought this can be a low-scoring slug, and Cleveland ain't going to be able to score. And they couldn't. We gift-wrapped them everything they got yesterday. Gift-wrapped them.
You could not be more right about that, just like you could not be more right about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, when a customer chooses to be aggressive and throw the football, when a customer chooses Pella, you know what? The most important thing to them is honoring that trust and commitment. They are going to find a way. What do we need to do to win your work? What are we going to do to need to get into your house? And you know what? A lot of customers, they might have apprehensions about inviting someone out to their home. But when you see the experience and the professionalism, can trust them with bringing your project to life. Their vision is to be the company people want to do business with. Order by the end of the month and get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. That is the Carbless Talk and Text line. We're gonna just skip over our positives and our negatives and get straight to your calls and texts. 844-770-3776. We'll get to those next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Take my heart, don't break it. Love me to my bones. All this time I've wasted. You were right there all along. You and I stargazing. Intertwining songs. We were never stretches. You were right there all along.
I lose my mind when I'm around you. How I come alive when I'm with
844-770-3776. That is the Carbless Talk and Text line. I just want to let everybody know, because I see, look, people are mad. They're mad on Saturday. They're mad now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of mad people. I get it. Mm-hmm. And again, I want to be very clear. Thank you for being so passionate about your teams, because that allows us to have a job. And so I do not take that lightly. Now, I want to take calls because I know, just like the YouTube chat, that there's going to be a myriad of things that people want to talk about. So trust me, we are not avoiding the conversation about Rich Bisaccia and the special teams. I am sure someone is going to bring that up. And Tausch and Homer had a very interesting question during their time together on Green Bay game day, post-game, game night, or whatever we call it, about who was more disappointing, Rich Bisaccia or Joe Barry. And I said,
that was
clearly
that was
Rich Bisaccia, because I never expected Joe Barry to be good, period.
Bisaccia was supposed to be the savior. Highest paid. Oh, my God, we finally solved all of our problems. And that has definitely not been the case. Here were the big points that came up on, and this is why I love doing the post-game show with Homer. The big points that came across last night were that Bisaccia, O-line stunk yesterday, and then Matt LaFleur, vice versa of Jeff Hafley. And I just want to make sure I am crystal clear. I think Matt LaFleur is a really good coach. Many people called in and said he can't adjust against really physical teams, that defenses are he has not figured out that formula yet, and it's in these big games when you play teams like that. I think Jeff, he calls in all the time, he's a great fan of our show and of the post game. He brought up this was the same game as the San Francisco 49ers playoff game that we lost 13-10. And I thought, that is super interesting. Now, San Fran was a playoff team. Cleveland ain't going to make the playoffs. But Cleveland's defense is the truth. Let's not – I want to make sure everybody understands. I am not I'm not overly concerned, because there are not many teams that – I mean, there are times we triple-team Myles Garrett. And we left our guys one-on-one in the middle, and their D-tackles are pretty dang good. They whooped us. They whooped us. So – I'm not entertaining the conversation, even though it was brought up three times, at least maybe four calls in the hour and a half I was on last night, of we don't want to lose Jeff Hafley. What happens if?
Yeah.
And my question to you guys was, what does happen if Hafley's defense is as dominant as we think it's going to be and the offense plays like it did against San Francisco in a playoff, or what we saw in Philly last year? You don't think that's going to be loud noises in people's heads? Because it will. And we don't have to agree with it, but it will.
Yeah. So there's a lot we'll talk about. We'll do it as folks bring up their various points. The offensive line is certainly a conversation point. I didn't think, again, we have Brian Bulaga, who is way more knowledgeable than me. But it didn't look to me like Elgton Jenkins had a great day. And I can tell you that Jordan Morgan, maybe there's a reason why he keeps saying he wants to play left tackle. Because it does not appear that he can consistently and effectively play other positions, and he does not appear to be as adept as other players are of going from position to position. And on top of that, he was the one who got bully balled by Shelby Harris on the blocked field goal. So, again, all things we can get to as we roll on, but I want to get started with the calls now. 844-770-3776. Let's begin in the Commonwealth. Ben in the Commonwealth. I've lost track of which ones are Commonwealths. Virginia, Commonwealth.
Kentucky.
Pennsylvania.
I'm in Virginia. Commonwealth. Yeah.
Virginia, yeah. Okay. All right. Ben, what do you got for us, buddy?
Well, first of all, it's been a while since I called, so it's I'm glad to be back on with you guys. So
you must be unhappy with how things went yesterday if it prompted you to actually call us for once.
For the first time in a long time, I had a spare 30 minutes to sit on hold in the morning, so I spent it with you guys.
Thank you for your service.
All right. So there was 57 minutes in the game that I'm not even going to discuss, but needs discussing. Let's take the last three when the game was still well within reach to win. Okay. I would like to know, at what point did Jordan Love, if ever, consider that safety jumping route was in the realm of possibility? Because if he didn't even think of that to be a possibility, that's a problem. Now, any quarterback can, you know, miss a guy and he drops into the window in that split second, and that's fine. If he was not thinking about that, given the down distance and ball placement on the field, 3 minutes left, that's a problem. And we saw, where did he have that awful interception? Was that the Rams where he basically caught it on the 5-yard line? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awful. That sort of situational awareness is inexcusable. Now, so what does Matt LaFleur do with this information? He can maybe choose to give the ball in his quarterback's hands, understanding that, hey, this guy might have to learn a tough lesson today. But you could surely lose the game, right? Some other dominoes had to fall for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're Matt LaFleur and you say, I want to win this game, you need to understand if Jordan Love is considering that safety, jumping the route, you got to take the ball out of his hands. And you run it and you punt it, like Tosh has been saying. So I want to know when Jordan Love considered that safety, jumping the route. Because it's easy to do in the post-game press conference. But if he's not thinking about that as he walks up to the line, that's a problem, given the down distance situation in the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the other thing I would say is, there were two other dominoes that needed to fall in order to lose. We can talk about the coaching, and we can talk about execution by the players. But if you want to be a nutwhack team, those three dominoes cannot fall. So I think we can be very confident that this is a good football team. Their defense is stout. Any team should face them. If you're the Packers and you're thinking you're a nutwhack team, no. You cannot have three dominoes fall in a row at the end of a game like that. That's how you lose. That is not nutwhack. If we're going for nutwhack, you need to do better.
Totally. Amen to that, Ben. Thanks for the call.
You have to understand. So one of the things that I thought was interesting, and I think Damian Woody is really good at his job. I think he breaks things down, and Micah Parsons was talking about Super Bowl teams don't do this, and all, and he's like, what the hell do you know about that? What do you know about it? And that's the Sheed talking about going undefeated. We love it. Great. Gave us three segments the other day. It was very interesting to us. But
By the way, she told reporters he's no longer talking to the media.
That's fair. That's good. Good call. It's a positive.
That's the tricky part of this. You want to be confident, but you have to play the game with the media too. And he lost that battle, and he's heard about it. Now, I doubt Sheed's going to just take his ball and go home. Maybe he will. I don't know. But that's the part of this maturing and understanding. You ain't done jack until you do it. And so you're moving along, and the idea of learning how to do this. That's why the Bulls had to go through the Pistons, and you get knocked down. If anybody thinks that this loss is going to affect this team from getting better and winning a championship, I don't. I think this is one of those you learn. And if you don't learn, you're not good enough to do it anyways. But when you have a defense that can be as dominant as this one, you're going to be in every game. And then it comes down to, can you make those plays that they didn't last year and that they didn't yesterday? Are we going to start seeing some growth in that part of this team? And it is special teams and it is offense. Because I think defensively, I think we're going to see everything we want and everything we need is going to be here. But football is a three-tier deal. And right now, we're standing on a tripod with one leg. And that's not going to get you a nut whack.
Got to watch out for those monopods. I want to spend some more time because it appears, and we're up and running, thanks, Joshy, on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel. We were a little delayed on that. The over 500 people in the ESPN Madison YouTube conversation they've latched on to your topic from after the game. So we will circle back to that. The one about
which one?
Why do you even consider passing? Why don't you just run the ball and punt it
away?
Matt LaFleur, Detroit, man. This is Cleveland.
Did Matt LaFleur not say that at the end of that game? And I know you could play the results, but somebody should be in his ear if he's not, just say, hey, man, they can't move it.
That's sure. Where
I'd love it. Jeff Hafley just get in, hit that little button, say, leave it on us. We got this. We got this. Because they did. Until they didn't.
So anyway, I just want to say, and then we'll get to more calls on the other side. Two things can be true, right? You could say Matt LaFleur, no, win the game the way you need to win the game that day.
And fix the problems as the season goes.
And so run the ball into the line. And look, Josh Jacobs averaging 1.9 yards a carry.
All I got to do is double his average, and he's got it.
Maybe he gets three. Maybe he gets one. But either way, there's no interception. That could be true. And you could say that if we're going to call Jordan Love an MVP candidate, that's not the kind of mistake you can make, period.
That dipped. That dipped pretty bad yesterday. But it's early in the season. Somebody has to explain two other things to me from yesterday's game. And I asked on the postgame, why did he snap? Listen, LaFleur's got this thing now, and everybody knows it. If the game clock is going to run out before the play clock, you go up in your hard count, you try to steal 5 yards.
Why did they snap? Yes.
What the hell did he snap that ball for? And, okay, great, because if you're going to run the ball, I'm on board, because the defensive line is probably like it's two, it's one. Oh, they're going to just run it out. And maybe you get the first down if you're running it. Then you decide to pass it. Okay, I don't love it, but all right. You can't take a sack. Like, what the – that just – so that should have told you right there, maybe it's just not Jordan's day. This defense has gotten to him. Maybe we just take a beat and say, what the blank are we doing? Understand that, too. Now, I love that he's got trust and belief in his quarterback. I think it was ill-founded yesterday. And that decision there – and then someone explained to me why we took that OPI penalty. The OPI – the guy didn't catch the ball. It would have been 4th and 10. What are we doing with that?
I believe, and I'm not I'm not sure.
By the way, great challenge. I want to give LaFleur credit. Great challenge on that 12 men. I've crushed him on his challenges. He crushed that one. So continue, Jason.
Well, I'm not entirely sure, but according to the game book, the officials ruled that as a catch.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't even close.
So he would have had to challenge it to then decide whether or not to accept the penalty or not. So it's in the game book as a 36-yard catch.
Yeah, it wasn't.
So
he didn't get his feet in, and he didn't catch it. But
well,
otherwise, it was a catch.
I understand. But you can't decline it if they're calling
it a catch. I
understand.
Okay, I didn't know that they called it a catch. Don't you have assisted replay? Like that? I saw
yeah,
it.
Another
like
great example. That's the issue with the Sky Judge, is that you never know when he's going to jump in and not. Right?
Yeah, well, that should have
like
been
that was
in.
An
and
instance
it didn't,
where
it didn't matter. But they did end up getting the, you know, got a 5-yard penalty and punted and got it down to the one. So you just never know how that stuff. But I'd like us to really make good decisions. Yep. And I think LaFleur's gotten better with challenges. I do. At least I hope.
There's also, speaking of decisions and being backed up the way they were, there's a few people wondering why did Golden run out of bounds? Why didn't he stop and keep going up the field?
It was a poor throw. That was a poor throw.
That's exactly what I was going to say. All right, we need to get to more calls. 844-770-3776. I also need to remind you of our great partnership with Lakeland Supply. They have been great. Vince and the team is awesome over there. It's not my area of expertise. It's theirs. But if you need their area of expertise, they're there for you. And core values are an important piece to any successful business, and Lakeland Supply is no different. They've been displaying their core values in the industrial supply space for over 40 years. Integrity, excellence, stewardship, partnership, and faith. They're ISO certified, a Future 50 winner, top rated in customer satisfaction, and they believe in giving back to the community. Lakeland isn't one of those catalog companies either. They work to be your packaging and supply expert, building plans around what you want. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. So set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. More of your calls and texts on the Carbless Talk and Text line, 844-770-3776. It's Wilde and Tausch. Let's make tonight the weekend. I don't want to wait. If we have a chance during today's program, I would like to discuss, if you're listening in Madison, the promo that you hear of Homer saying, "You cannot trust Jordan Love." I think it's more nuanced than that. I don't think that it's out of bounds to have a conversation about it. I don't agree with him, as I told him yesterday. But there are some critical mistakes that can't be made, and he made one of those yesterday, whether they should have called a pass play or not. Let's get going again with the calls, 844-770-3776. Let's get to a couple of Andys before the next break. Let's start with Andy in Madison. Andy, thanks for holding on, buddy. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys, thank you, and thanks for not letting Tausch talk anymore after the break because he was gobbling up all the good takes.
Yeah, but take gobbler. I'm like, yeah, he's the gobbler. I'm the Pac-Man of takes today.
Well, you know, you upped your level of vitriol, which I think was good. Last night on game night, you were kind of like, well, Matt LaFleur needs to learn the situation, and you know, and I'm like, no. Any idiot sitting on his couch last night knew what the situation was. Any beer-drinking Packer fan knew that the Cleveland Browns
was that
didn't
Andy
score.
Was that my your impression impersonation of me?
Well, do.
I don't know what was better, that or Jason's home.
All right, Andy, continue. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
It was you were a slightly apologist, I thought, for Matt LaFleur last night. And
oh,
today.
Okay, I totally disagree. All right, good. Continue. I'll speak after you're done. Okay.
All right. So anyway, but that last night was unlike anything I've ever seen in 40 years as a Packer fan. The complete lack of awareness and how a game is unfolding, the texture of a game. Not even all of Mike McCarthy and his glorious ineptitude over the years. I don't think he ever made so many poor decisions in one game to effectively hand a game over to the other team. And You know, suddenly, you know, all this talk, and I was on board with the undefeated talk. I thought all that stuff was possible, and now we're just a 2-1 team in a conference full of 3-0 teams, including San Francisco 49ers led by Kyle Shanahan. And, you know, Wilde, you just made a comment that really I sort of disagreed with it. You said something like, you know, the Kyle Shanahan, oh, it's all offensive-minded, you know, would they want to win the game or, you know, put it away and you got to stay aggressive, whatever. But I just kind of look back to the 2020 playoff game when Shanahan, you know, set aside his ego and did nothing but run the ball. I mean, they threw the ball 8 times in that playoff game. They decimated us. Mm-hmm. It was ugly, right? Boring football. He was willing to win ugly. And I think the ego of a lot of these offensive coaches is they put their ego ahead of the team and what the team needs, and they are not willing to win ugly. I mean, think about the Packers defense for all these years. We can't stop the run. The way to beat the Packers is to run the ball. But so few teams, so few offensive coordinators and offensive coaches are willing to set their ego aside to win ugly and do what is necessary to win. And yesterday, Matt LaFleur did exactly that. And it reminded me of Mike McCarthy the year we went 15-1 and lost to the Chiefs. The Chiefs were like, I want to say they were 28th against the run and maybe like 5th against the pass. Somebody can check that. But it was obvious that the recipe into that game was to run the ball, you know, take advantage of their weak rush defense. And what did they do? They had Rodgers passing all game, getting beat up, murdered. And it was just his ego. And yesterday was the same thing. A Packers head coach put himself and his role before the team's. Now, and it's either LaFleur's ego took center stage over the team, or he lacks the basic awareness that every single Packer fan had yesterday, was that the Cleveland Browns were not going to score unless we gave them a short field. I don't want to hear about Jordan Love and the caller before. And yeah, Jordan Love's got to know not to listen. Jordan Love was battered just as badly as Joe Flacco was at this point.
He got beat up.
LaFleur came into the game to be aggressive to win. Fine. Guess what? It wasn't working. And the defense was holding. They punted the ball on 4th and 4 from like the 40-yard line with 8 minutes left in the game because they couldn't move the ball. They were just hoping Matt LaFleur would give them an opportunity to shorten the field. And he did it. It was unbelievable. Now listen, you know who Matt LaFleur might be? I'm gonna give Wilde a little trivia because I know we got the same movie tape. Who's Sidney Green? You know who Sidney Green is?
I'm sorry that I'm choking on this. I don't know who that is, but I'm going to kick myself when you tell me.
Billy Hoyle, his buddy, his teammate Billy Hoyle. Sidney Green was the guy who was Wesley Snipes in White Men Can't Jump. Okay. And Billy Hoyle was Woody Harrelson. And Woody Harrelson's critique of him was, you would rather look good and lose than look bad and win. And that's who Matt LaFleur was yesterday. And some caller last night at game night talked about his finally quaffed hairs and his eyebrows and all that crap. Look at Kyle Shanahan. You think that guy spends any time in front of a mirror? No, I don't think so. He cares about winning at any cost. Now, if Ed Podolsky didn't chew LaFleur a new one last night, today, tomorrow, then he's not the right guy for the job either. I am for Matt LaFleur to be on the hot seat immediately. I am for retaining Jeff Hafley at any cost. Fire Bisaccia, take that money, move it over to Hafley, do what you got to do. You cannot let that guy get away. And this is it for LaFleur, Super Bowl or bust. You are on the clock. And did anyone hear the postgame?
LaFleur?
This guy is delusional, completely delusional. LaFleur, he said something along the lines that, you know what really bothered me about this game is that maybe, possibly, it could be argued that the interception cost us the game. You think? Like, I never really tuned into his post-game press conferences, but I thought I was going to see a guy begging for forgiveness and saying that I blew this game. And there was really nothing. He took responsibility for all the wrong reasons, okay? Look, hey, I got to make a better play call. No, you got to run the ball. You got to know what everybody watching TV knows. Zero awareness. Okay, so information, I want to say one thing. Can't let Hafley get away. And then I want to leave Tausch with a question because I really thought about this, and I haven't heard anybody bring this up. And like I said, Tausch took up a lot of the takes already. But what if you're a defensive player on this team last night and you just gave your all in what should have been a 10-0 shutout as you run the ball 3 times and punt for the entire 4th quarter? What are you thinking in your head as Matt LaFleur addresses this team as a defensive player, saying whatever BS he said in the postgame, because that's what it was? Because I would be irate, and I would think this is the type of thing that could rip a locker room apart, and I'm just wondering if you think a person would even maybe be vocal about it, or somebody might approach him. And that's all I got, man. I just, I've never seen.
You brought it.
Tausch gobbled the takes, and Andy got the rest of them.
Thanks for the call, Andy. We appreciate you.
Miss Pac-Man came in and just chopped up Mr. Pac-Man. I'll tell you that. As far as the locker room splintering, no, not even close at this point. I think you understand that there's different games and there's different flows. Are they disappointed? Absolutely they are, because they played a really good game. There's been plenty of times that I think offenses have scored a lot of points and you give up a ton. And, you know, good leadership and good teams don't let that stuff splinter. You're going to have conversations. I don't believe this is one where you have Micah or Rashawn or any of these guys go up and say, Coach, you need to trust us that we can get this done. I don't think we're there. Yeah. But I do hope that Matt LaFleur looks at this and says, and I think he did. I don't think it was all BS in the post game.
Mm-hmm.
I think he legitimately thought I cost us this game for our team by not trusting in our defense. That is how I read that. Now, maybe I'm wrong. So I think Andy is obviously very upset. And I think, like a lot of Packer fans, you don't like giving games away. And especially when you know you have a really good team. They gave one away yesterday. That was not one where you can always live if somebody's more physical and comes in and beats you.
Yep.
You can always live with that. That is not what happened yesterday. Cleveland's defense, very good. Probably outplayed our defense when it all comes to being said and done. I think it's close. And when you have a 10-0 lead in a game like that, it feels like it's 20-0. It feels three scores.
Yep.
And that was the part. Homer wanted to start the post game at 10-0, and I thought, my rule of thumb is it's got to be a three-score game for us to do it. And I'm glad we stuck with that, because that would have been tough.
I know I don't remember all of our prize picks for the weekend, but I know we went less on Jordan Love's passing yards, which appears to be more and more the right call. With the MVP
except for 2 weeks ago, where that cost me on one of mine. Matthew Golden. We'll have to discuss too. I'm getting a lot of tweets about that throw, and they said it was a perfect throw. Golden should have cut up because of the safety. We can take a look at that on that play. Matthew Golden, though, very good for OT yesterday. Good day with Mahomes and everything else. You know, we make decisions every day on Prize Picks. You know what? It is more fun when you're right. I found that out yesterday. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it is good to be right, and it is simple to play. Pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections. You get right, you cash in. Prize Picks puts their users first, so all withdrawals, they are fast, safe, and secure. Prize Picks offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick and easy deposits into your account this football season. They offer injury reboots, and you know what? It lets you have your sports opinions. You believe what's going to happen. Just make sure you get it right. Join millions of users. Sign up today. Download the app. Use code WI. Get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That is code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It is good to be right.
All right. Andy in Waukesha, Ricardo in Canada, Tim in West Bend, Brandon in Maryland. Sorry that Andy in Madison was on a Pac-Man tear there.
Man, go faster than Andy did.
So we will get to your calls.
Yeah, there is a lot of other stuff to get into. We haven't even talked about playing Zach Tom, and he only got one snap. Like, there's a lot of stuff that we haven't. And somebody texted me this after our post game last night.
Don't gobble them all up.
I'm not going to gobble them up. But
sounds like
the O line stunk yesterday.
Yeah, we've got some statistics to back that up as well. We'll get to all that when we do a 7-hour show today. To get to all of it, it's Wildy and Tausch. one more call here. Take our two-minute top-of-the-hour break and then start rolling with calls a little bit more expeditiously. Let's go to Andy in Waukesha first. Andy, good morning. Thanks for holding on, buddy. What do you got for us?
Morning, guys. Hey, I'm going to try to be quick and not be as angry as the other Andy. But and frankly, I'm piggybacking off a lot of good calls. I listened to the postgame last night and Jen and Gabe this morning. And I specifically Tosh's what I think is an excellent point about Matt LaFleur failing to grasp how to coach yesterday's game to win yesterday's game. Mm-hmm. I mean, someone pointed out in Jen and Gabe this morning, New England scored 33 points and lost the Super Bowl to Philly in 2018. The next year, they played the Rams in the Super Bowl and won by scoring just 13 points. I think Matt LaFleur is a really good coach in games in which the Packers offense scores in the upper 20s and 30s. Yesterday was a game they should have won by scoring 10 points.
Yep.
I don't think Matt is comfortable or even very good at coaching with a lower scoring contest where you're going to go up against a physical defense like Philly has, San Francisco's had in years past, and Cleveland. Everyone knew that was a good defense going into it. And also in those games, guess what else matters? Special teams. Mm-hmm. Last year's playoff loss was 16-10 in the fourth quarter in Philly. The defense was playing well, and Matt LaFleur looked defeated. He also had a special teams that fumbled the opening kickoff and gave Philly a 7-0 lead, and then McManus missed the kick. And Tosh, the caller yesterday, who made the point about the 13-10 loss
really
to the Niners in the playoffs, looking like this, that was a guy named Jason, because I actually called my son in New York City and said, listen to this. That was excellent. Mm-hmm. Because in that game, the Packer D gave up 6 points.
Yep.
And was
right.
really good. But again, Matt was defeated with his offense getting bullied by a very good Niners defense. And they had a field goal blocked and the punt blocked for the touchdown. That should have been a 10-6 win. Matt gets antsy and he gets out of his comfort zone in these kind of defensive games. And then, and Tosh, one point you brought up earlier this morning, you said we got to take it and learn from it. When do we stop pretending that we're going to learn on special teams? And I'm not trying to segue, but the Chiefs and the Eagles win games. They don't just look to avoid losing on special teams. The Chiefs won a game against the Broncos last year, blocking a field goal at the buzzer. The Eagles did that twice yesterday. The Bisaccia thing is, and you're right. I think Jason was the same caller yesterday and compared Bisaccia to Joe Barry. Matt has got to get his act together. We can point to Jordan Love. That was on coaching. They should have won that game 10-0 or 10-3 and moved on to Dallas. Matt LaFleur is responsible for yesterday's loss, in my opinion. Hmm.
Thanks for the call, Andy. We appreciate it. Yeah, look, again, it can be – these things are not mutually exclusive. We can, again, say Matt LaFleur should have run the ball into the line of scrimmage, but he chose to call the pass, and then you made a bad pass. Those can both be true. Just
sure.
Like it can be true that the Packers' special teams cost them, again, just like it did in that playoff game. Like, look, the offense cost them. So did the special teams. That was true of that playoff game. That was true yesterday. Again, we could get it. I want to get into the Zach Tom thing because I had a conversation with him on Friday, and I could not believe he was active. And I'm not sure there are many instances where a guy has played one snap. I mean, even Jaire Alexander in Chicago last year played 10 before he removed himself from the game. And there's no way Zach Tom should have played yesterday.
Agreed.
That we can all agree on.
Yes, and Zach agrees with that.
He does, and I'd be curious, and I will ask Matt LaFleur at 3 o'clock, what exactly was the process that led to him playing? Because that I want to know. Because the Zach Tom that I talked to on Friday
couldn't run straight ahead.
He was very torn, and he was saying, look, I don't want to go out there and be a detriment to the team. I don't want to go out there and play badly. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I feel like my team needs me. So he sometimes... You have to decide for him. And clearly in this case, whoever allowed him to have some say-so, it was a mistake. It's never a mistake, though, whether you're drowning your sorrows or celebrating a victory, to include Tito's in your game plan.
Indeed, and whether you're pre-gaming beforehand and you have a spicy bloody, make sure it's Tito's. If you're out, like we are out at this beautiful golf outing today, I like the transfusion. And, you know, if you like a little something after, a little cranberry, whatever it is, make sure it's Tito's in your glass. And not only is it Tito's have great vodka, they're also great in the community. Give back in a big way. Partnering with nonprofits all across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So next time you're raising a glass, make sure it's Tito's handmade vodka in that glass, crafted to be savored responsibly.
Our 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wildy and Tausch.